Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an item purchased at a Goodwill store was more and a listener bargained for. Also, could something paranormal cause the sound to be sucked out of a listener's farmhouse? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was just sitting on my foot, and I had to move it because I was beginning to lose circulation and feeling. It was becoming a ghost foot.
Is it asleep now?
It's getting better.
So if I kick it, will that feel really good?
No, it's slowly waking up.
Okay.
It's kind of sitting there. It's having its morning coffee, if you will. I just had a piece of toast with blueberry jam.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Good to know.
Blueberry toast jam.
That's gross.
Isn't that? Wouldn't that be? Hey, new at IHOP, toast jam. Spread that around.
That's gross.
So many more disgusting places I could take that, but I'll stop. Stop right there. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to share your stories with us. Our first one today, it comes into us from, is an apostrophe here. Is it supposed to be there?
Yes, and I'm not sure how you say it. It looks kind of like Wren, but it's not Wren that we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different Wren.
Okay. I'm not going to even attempt it.
It's R'EN. I don't know how you say that.
Or did somebody? I'm looking at the keyboard. I'm looking. Is that key anywhere near that letter where it was accidentally? No, it's not. Okay, there we go. All right.
Okay.
So I don't know how to say your name, but Wren, like name. That's who this is coming in from. So I was listening to your episode, Sweet Home, and at the end, Tony mused about if Goodwill is haunted or if the items therein are haunted. Well, I have a million stories, like almost everyone who writes or calls in, and I have often considered sharing some, but I really couldn't resist this time. I'm an old soul who likes antiques, history, crocheting, and so many other old-timey things. I had a record player I bought secondhand because I love the airy, static-induced sounds of real records. I'd visit the Goodwill in my neighborhood sometimes and look through their albums. On Christmas, I decided I needed some holiday records, and I went to find some. About maybe 8 to 10 of them, all of them compilations of people like Perry Como. At some point during that December, I was baking and whatnot and decided to put on some of those records. I think I listened to maybe 2 or so while baking, and I had switched to this green album with an image of Santa on his sleigh, receding into the night sky. I didn't think much of it and went back to baking. I had my hands full of dough when the first side came to an end, but I wasn't in any hurry to turn it over and tried to finish that step of my baking. Then, an older woman wearing slacks and a cardigan stood in my kitchen doorway watching, and she asked me impatiently, "Well, are you going to turn it over?" I responded by lifting my hands halfway out of the bowl of food I was preparing and said, "I will, but I have my hands full." But I trailed off as I realized I was home alone. How I knew What she looked like or where she stood or anything about her is a complete mystery because she obviously wasn't really there. I've obviously had many unusual incidents in my life, but this one always stood out among my top five as odd. I cleared my hands of the mess, went in search of any other living people at home. I lived alone, and I knew my family wasn't visiting, but you have to be a bit out of sorts not to feel like you should at least walk through your home to ensure you're alone. Well, I was. Needless to say, I turned the album over and spoke aloud, "There you go, now let me finish." I have since never chosen to play that album again, simply because I have a few desires to be settled, I have a few desires to be so startled. I don't exactly avoid ghosts, nor have I any aversions to them, but I also have no intentions of repeating situations that I know have induced them to come out and play. So I'm guessing any goodwill could be haunted, and I imagine the right circumstances are all the spirits need to feel comfortable to come out and interact. Maybe all we need to do is spend a few nights alone at a goodwill to prove the point, right? You first, Tony. I'm an EPP, and I thank you both for continuing to do the show. If the moment strikes me, I'd love to tell you more of my stories. Maybe I can hear you read this sometime. Take care.
Well, there you go. You wondered.
I wondered, and, you know, I kind of figured, too. I figured any place where you have resale going on, whether it be a Goodwill, whether it be an antique store, whether it be any number of resale stores, your odds go up.
Well, I was kind of wondering, because I don't know about the other Goodwills across the country, but at least here in our general area, there's been times where there's been weapons and live grenades and human skulls that have been donated.
All at your neighborhood Goodwill.
That's just in Wichita. So yeah. I can imagine that Goodwill sees their fair share of weird stuff.
Oh, sure.
And you can't help but wonder.
You know, I bet it's a very interesting job being the folks in the back there that get to peruse all of it and decide what makes it to the store and what doesn't. Because not everything that gets dropped off goes to the store. Obviously, they need to make sure that it's not a grenade or a human skull. But, you know, when you go through this stuff, that's the shit you find every now and then. That would be an interesting website, you know.
Yeah.
Just people who work in that position and then just submitting photos of the stuff that didn't make it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what you would find. That would just be a great site when you're bored and have absolutely nothing to do just to peruse it. It's like, oh my God, I can't. There you go. There's a Pinterest board right there.
Sure.
That's, I wonder if that exists. Thank you for the story and sharing the experience with us. Elaine writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My story begins when I was visiting my friend in Lemoore, California. My friend Jackie and her husband Josh, names change for their privacy, moved from San Francisco to Lemoore, California when Josh enlisted in the Navy. He was stationed at the Lemoore Naval Air Station. One weekend, I decided to visit and stay with Jackie and Josh while he was on duty at the Naval Air Station. They rented an old farmhouse on a piece of property no longer used for farming. We had a wonderful visit until the last night I was there. We were expecting Josh home later that evening, so we decided to sit in the kitchen to watch for him through the back door. Jackie and I were no strangers to the paranormal, so our conversation started in that direction. Jackie was telling me many of the paranormal happenings at the old farmhouse, such as when they were driving home from a weekend getaway in Yosemite and wishing that the old claw foot tub wouldn't take 45 minutes to fill up with hot water. When they arrived home, Jackie went into the bathroom to start the bath, only to find the water was already filling the old claw foot tub, and it was almost full. We next talked about her brother David, who had recently passed away at the age of 19 from a car accident. Growing up with David, I knew him very well, but as we continued to talk about him, things got very strange. Suddenly, all the sounds in the farmhouse stopped, and I mean everything. The hum from the refrigerator stopped, the sound from the air conditioner stopped, and the song on the radio stopped. Even though there was something eerie about the silence, we thought maybe it was a power outage. So I got up, turned on the kitchen sink faucet. There was no sound when the water hit the sink. Jackie opened the kitchen window and there were no outside sounds, such as crickets or cars driving by from the roadway. At that point, we panicked. We grabbed our purses and started off for the back door. When we opened it and stepped out of the farmhouse, we could hear sounds again. We could hear the crickets and cars. We ran as fast as we could to the car, drove to the Naval Air Station, and sat outside waiting for Josh. As Josh drove us back to the farmhouse, we told him what happened, and he believed us and went into the farmhouse to check things out before Jackie and I re-entered it. Everything was back to normal. A few years later, after Jackie and Josh moved, the old farmhouse was torn down by the owner. To this day, we really don't know what it was that we encountered. I'm hoping both you and Jenny may have some ideas as to what happened. Thanks, Elaine.
You know, that's a weird one. We talk about senses being altered by paranormal activity, but for two people to literally lose the ability to hear all sound.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's temporary deafness on their part. I think it's more of a suction, I guess, of the sound out of the
atmosphere.
Out of the atmosphere. I don't know.
I would probably go with that. I don't think that they were losing their senses, but it makes one of those. It makes sense because we hear stories like that where one person who's right next to the other or on the other side of the room or whatever can hear something very audibly that, in all theory, should be able to be heard by the other, but the other person is not hearing it. I suppose it all depends what sort of entity that is and exactly what sort of powers it has to absorb or suck that sound away. I often wonder sometimes if there's even intent. I mean, and sometimes I think there is with these entities of who should be hearing what. I also wonder sometimes if there is no intent and it's just happens, that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I wonder sometimes, did they intend to be seen? You know, when you saw it walking down the hall, did they make themselves visibly known, or did it just happen to be that whatever lined up correctly, they were seen at that moment in time?
Sure.
So, I don't know. Sometimes I think we as humans play a little bit, and I don't know if that's applicable in this case, but I think sometimes we take everything very personally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or as we think anything odd that happens to us, that whatever was the cause of the odd occurrence surely had a reason to have that happen to us. It's not just that we happen to be in their space and their time, but there's some reason that they wanted us to be seeing or hearing that. And I don't think that is the case in a lot of cases.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it explains more cases than not, mm-hmm. where everybody's searching for the reason. Why? Like, no, he just happened to be there. So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story to Real Ghost Stories Online. Daniel, hi.
Hey, Brewski Squad. This is Daniel giving you a call again. So the story takes place about 11 years ago. One of my best friend at the time, he was exiting an apartment complex and he was T-boned by a car and it sent him into a coma. He was in this coma for about 3 days, and his brain was still swelling. And upon the last of his hours, his parents had determined that they would take him off life support and donate his organs and everything. Well, now let me just back it up a little bit. After he was T-boned, it was that night that we were supposed to hang out, but I had to work late. And I had to... You know, I went home, I showered up after it was done. I missed some phone calls while I was in the shower, and it was my friends trying to get a hold of me, letting me know that he was in the hospital. And as soon as I found out, I responded, told everybody I was on my way. I got ready as fast as I could, found out the location of the hospital. The hospital was 24 miles away, almost 25 miles. And when I left my house, I'm talking, I was going about 95 miles an hour. I was going fast, hauling ass fast. And the weird part about that, why I say that, is from the point that I left my house, going through the neighborhood streets to get onto the highway, it was nothing but green lights. And then when I got on the highway to head straight over there, it was about another 20 miles I had to go there. And I'm just shooting and gunning straight down. Not a car in sight, not a cop in sight. And even if there was a car, far off to the right. And fast forward a few days after everything is said and done, and once we get to the ending when we find out, you know, that everything was going to happen, and we get to the funeral day, there was rain scheduled that day, but honestly, it never rained, not one bit. A hole in the clouds, just with the sun coming down, you know, you always you always try to piece something together that he's off to a better place. Well, the next night we have a little celebration. Buddies and I get a little party going, and we have several beers. This is where it gets really interesting. He had a Corona deck of cards that we always played blackjack with at a friend's apartment. He left them there, and we had already been drinking a lot. And I grabbed the deck of cards, and I was like, well, let's play a round of blackjack, you know? Let's play around in remembrance of him. And his name was Brandon, but he got the nickname Jewy. Another long story on top of that, but everybody knew him as Jewy. And I'm shuffling the cards, and I have another person cut it. And there was four people, so I put each of their cards face down. And then the next four cards that I turn over are all J's. Now, I'm no mathematician, I'm no card geek, but even after drinking, it can never be done again. And especially because somebody else cut the cards, the variable that created, I mean, that was a sign. Four J's, and we've all been drunk already at that point, can't explain it. Anyway, I don't know, maybe you guys can shed some light on that it just, are there some unseen forces out there that are just trying to remind you or trying to get you where you need to go? Because I should have been arrested that night, speeding over to the hospital. I should have been given like 5 tickets, and I got nothing. And I was able to make it there, make it on time, and then on top of that, just getting, you know, getting those cards all facing the way they need to. Signs. I don't know. And I even took a picture of it. You know, I still have it after all this time. But you guys can shed some light on that if there are unexplained things like that that are just groundbreaking. Let me know. Thanks once again, guys. Glad to be an EPP. Have a good one. Bye.
I think sometimes it's not, you know, like, I think it's just simply the other person, or the person on the other side, is trying to let you know that there's still something going on, that there's something on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that almost creates this like synchronicity where you keep having these odd occurrences.
Sure. And sometimes maybe doing things that they know that they did in life,
mm-hmm,
that are recognizable, not just, hey, what's that knocking or what's that light turning on or off, when they're able to interact in a way that they did like this, kind of with the cards and stuff. That was a similar to how life was.
Sure.
It pinpoints, oh, this is that person. It's, mm-hmm, like a signature.
Yeah.
If you will. So I think, yeah, it's your friend just letting you know something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that may just be a simple message of, hey, I'm over here now. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Good one. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And of course, EPP, you hear that word mentioned all the time if you're a new listener. That's our extra podcast people. They get a bonus episode of the show every week. Some of our best stories on there. Access to all of our bonus episodes, nearly 80 of them now. And you can't go wrong. It's $5 and you get all of those hours of shows, just the best ghost stories we have. And that's what keeps this thing on the air. That's what funds Real Ghost Stories Online. So $5 a month, throw it in the kitty, and let's keep this thing going. Sign up, Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi,
I'm calling because in the 90s, I was 19, and I had heard about a haunted school, elementary school, out in the Redlands, California, and my friends and I were addicted to the place. At first, I did not believe the school was haunted, and we went there the first night, and as we walked down the corridor, all the lights were lit up, and we got to this office door, and as we knocked on the door, we established a code, which was 1 for yes, 2 for no. And we called the ghost David, and we were told the ghost was named David. And you could see into the office clearly, so we knew no one was in there. And I knocked on the door, and I said, David, do you want to talk? And something knocked back, and when I say knock, it knocked forcibly back, yes. And it proceeded to answer our questions. And the whole time I'm standing there in disbelief. And we slowly over time went back again and again and again. And when we went there, it was deep in, you know, orchard land. So there was no sound as we approached this place. No crickets, no insects, nothing. But the most terrifying night was the night that we went there. And I saw, as we got out of the car, I was the only one to see it. I saw what appeared to be a shadowy demon run from this hill into what would be the office area. And it didn't terrify me because I have grown up in not one, not two, not three, not four, but five haunted locations. In fact, I clear locations of presences, demons, you name it. I do spirit recovery. But that place has left its mark on me, and it was called Mariposa Elementary, and you can look it up. It is thoroughly haunted. Thank you, David. Bye.
I think she was thinking of the ghost David when she said that.
Okay.
You know how you get the names mixed up when you're talking about somebody and talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks.
I don't think I've ever met anyone named Shelley.
No.
I'm trying to think. No, there was a really weird girl in grade school that was named Shelley.
Okay.
Didn't like her. Anywho. it's one of those names. It's just, I don't know. Anywho. I agree. What do you think about the story?
Well, as far as haunted schools, you know, you most of the time you think of those not being something super dark. You just think of a lot of residual energy. So I find that kind of interesting that there was something that dark of a presence there.
It makes you wonder. I mean, schools are weird. I always get weird vibes. I don't know, maybe because I never liked school.
Mm-hmm.
But the few times I've gone through like a school that's, you know, being abandoned or torn down, it wasn't all super happy vibe.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know why that would be. Because, I mean, honestly, a lot of times, you know, you go into an elementary school that's active, that has children running around and playing. It is a happy vibe.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff on the walls. There's laughing. There's plenty of kids, I'm sure, who don't want to be there. I was probably one of them at one point in time. But overall, it's like a fairly positive vibe, I think, in most cases.
Sure.
Which is odd, then, when you enter into one that's no longer active and is on the chopping block, for it to have a real sad vibe. Is it just because it's such the yin and the yang? It's like, oh, this is once a real happy place, and now it's like dead. Or is it there's something more behind that? Is there something more to that?
I don't know. And, you know, you think of a lot of kids, there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of playing.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of kids that aren't happy.
Sure.
You know, they're getting picked on. They're not doing so well grade-wise. Mm-hmm. The teachers aren't nice sometimes. You know, there's just so much mixed emotion.
Yeah, I mean, probably a lot of it depends on what went on in the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was an active school. I will say that, you know, the ghost video, or the not the it's not really ghost video, but that video I did wandering around that school here.
Mm-hmm.
One of its what would the term be? Students at one point in time.
Oh.
BTK.
Yeah.
The serial killer. I don't honestly think that it had weird vibes only because of him, because he was a little kid at the time, but God knows what the hell that sick idiot was doing back then too.
Sure.
But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it had weird vibes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may just be me, because, you know, it's like I said, it's the yin and the yang of it. It's,
I almost think, you know, once the school's empty, there's not that happy energy there keeping an offset of the negative energy.
And the negative just takes over?
I feel like the negative energy lingers longer than the happy energy does.
I could see that. I could see that negative energy sinks and happy energy rises.
Something like that.
Like steam?
Sure.
I don't know.
Heat.
Heat. Heat. Yes.
Yeah, heat does that.
There you go. We're learning about all sorts of fun things here in science class.
That's why you didn't like school.
Exactly. I really didn't like it at all. Let's go to our next caller at 855-853-4802. And hi, you're live with Regis and Kathy Lee Gifford.
Hey, guys. My name is Edwin. Huge fan of the show. I've actually only been listening for about almost 2 weeks now. And figured that I'd call in with one of my own ghost stories, I guess you could say. So without further ado, when I was about 18 years old, recently graduated high school, as a graduation present, I got a DSLR camera, and I wanted to pursue photography and videography and stuff like that. And about 2 weeks after I graduated high school, my friend hit me up and asked if I wanted to join him and his band on tour, and I knew all the guys, was really familiar with them, so I was pretty comfortable with the idea, so I went ahead and joined them. And so it was a full, you know, United States tour, so it was from California to New York and back. And I live in California, and so right about the time that we went to New York, we got to a I honestly don't remember the location, but it wasn't, you know, the big city New York. It was the outskirts, you know, neighborhoods of New York. And the craziest thing about it was that we stopped at this one guy's house. It was a promoter's house. And, you know, since we weren't this huge rock star band, we weren't staying in hotels. We were crashing at, you know, people's houses that were letting us stay, were kind enough to let us stay. The house was kind of creepy, but that wasn't what got, you know, the hairs on the back of my head to stand up. So we got there about, I'd say, after the show, which was almost like 10:30, 11, around that time. And so we got there, chit-chatted a bit, you know, had a few drinks. And then the promoter and the guys that were there were like, telling us about, you know, the neighborhood and how it is and stuff like that. So being that we had a very noticeable 15-seater van with a huge trailer hitched to the back of it with all the equipment and all the merchandise that we had, they suggested that, you know, one of us or a couple of us want to go sleep in the van. And I was against the idea, so me and about three friends want to go to the van, and we took it. We laid down some of the seats, and it was pretty much pretty flat, so laid down some blankets and laid down and everything. So right about the time that we did this, we laid down and we were on our phones getting ready to go to sleep, you know what I mean, after, you know, playing the show and hanging around with some of the people that we met. We were laying down, and this is, you know, New York. You know, not the big city New York, but it felt like New York. The streets felt like New York, and there wasn't a lot of streetlights, which was the crazy thing about it. But there was enough light that was shining through to be able to see and make out what exactly was outside. It's not like it was pitch black. And I definitely have to say, in my opinion, that the most scariest situations are the ones that you don't realize that you went through a paranormal incident until after. You know what I mean? Like, so we were laying down, and the two guys that were with us, or that were with me, they ended up dozing off a bit. And I was laying on my back on my phone. For my peripheral vision, I saw shadows, you know. And at first look, I'm just assuming that it's some of the guys, you know, coming to the van to get some of their stuff to go get ready for bed, you know the usual. And I saw that from both sides of my peripheral vision. But then I started noticing that they just kept looking inside the van. It wasn't really so much they were searching for anything, but they were just standing. And since I wasn't really paying much attention to it, all that I noticed were the silhouettes that were there. It wasn't no facial details, no anything, no nothing like that. So, sitting there, and then I realized there was three of them, two on my left, and then one on my right. They were just standing there. So, without really thinking anything of it, I didn't make a scene. I wasn't like, hey, you know, do you guys need anything that I can get you from the inside or anything like that? It was nothing. So, come morning, the guys that, you know, ended up crashing inside the house, it was a three-story house, ended up telling us, like, the creepiest thing in the world. This is where everything, you know, came together, and it really scared the crap out of me. So one of my friends was saying how they were at the second story right about, you know, to go to sleep and get ready for bed, and then they looked outside from where they were at, and they saw three shadow people. I guess that's how you would, you know, describe them, since they have no features. And that they were petrified, they were terrified, because they were explaining that they were very conscious at the moment of what exactly was going on, because, you know, they ruled out everything in a matter of seconds. There was enough light to be able to at least try to make out something, instead of, you know, thinking that, you know, thinking something else, but there was no features whatsoever. And so when they told me that, I was like, well, there was three guys that I thought were the bands, you know, the bandmates and stuff like that, that were looking through the van, but they obviously weren't. So, nothing big. I don't think that they were trying to, you know, do us any harm or anything like that, but the fact that the people that were inside were seeing something that I was seeing, and at the time that they were seeing it, it wasn't, you know, anything that they could explain, but at the time that I was seeing it, it was something that I didn't think anything of, because at the time, I thought it was something completely different. They tried calling me, but they didn't have any service in the house. I barely had anything. I was just getting ready to go to bed and whatnot, and so, yeah, I don't know if anybody could chime in on that. I am interested in a bunch of paranormal stuff, but I guess I could say that shadow people are like the stuff that I know less about. If any of you guys could chime in on that, that'd be great. Yeah, so hopefully you guys use this one, and looking forward to hopefully hearing it on there. Really love what you guys are doing once again, and keep doing it. All right, guys, later.
Thanks for sharing your shadow person story.
And I think he's exactly right that an experience that you don't realize is paranormal until later.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the scariest.
Oh, yeah.
Then you go back and you're like, oh, my gosh, what if this or what if that, or, you know, a million different ideas versus, okay, I'm looking at a ghost.
Sure. I agree. It's one of those things. And here's the would you rather. Would you rather have that moment where it's going on and you realize this is paranormal? Or would you rather have it later on after you're, you know, soaking it all in and kind of, you know, thinking about it in your mind that, oh, wait a second, that was paranormal. When is the optimal time what's happening is in fact paranormal?
I think when it's going on.
Right at that moment?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be a little creepier and spookier?
No. I think to have an experience and then later be so baffled as to trying to figure out a logical explanation for something that has no logical explanation other than paranormal.
Okay.
I think that would bother me more.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of a to each their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, how would you handle this better? You're pretty good in like in situations where, like, I guess it'd be kind of falling into like emergency situations or traumatic situations.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, got to stay composed and get through this.
I totally rock in those situations. I don't know why, but I can stay calm. But little things will drive me insane. Little things that aren't important,
mm-hmm.
that will get to me. But give me a car accident where somebody looks like they're dead in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally handle that.
Yeah, I mean, she screams, oh, the humanity, throws a lot of things and drools.
I don't.
But...
I don't.
That's the definition of calm, though. No, she's actually really good about that.
Yeah.
It's me who's drooling and throwing things and freaking out. You ever had a moment where you really freaked out in a scary situation?
Where I really freaked out in a scary situation? Scary as in, like, emergency situation or scary as in paranormal?
Emergency situation.
No.
Never?
No.
I don't know if it was necessary. Well, I don't know. I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I remember we were leaving the... to me, like, strange is like more of the more scary moments in my life. We were leaving the Sheboygan Mall.
Okay.
And everything scary begins with the words Sheboygan Mall. I mean, to this day, it's a pretty scary. I don't even even open anymore. It's kind of... at the time we were alive, it was never really a very functioning, well-done mall. I mean, at one point, I think it was a great place, but... throughout most of the 90s and up to wherever it is today, if it's still there, not the greatest place. Anyway, we were leaving it. I was, I don't know, probably 10, 11-ish. And looking outside, I saw cloud formations I had never seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was like tornado country.
Yeah.
And it was scary. I mean, just like weird. I mean, to this day, I don't think I've seen clouds that were quite that scary.
Mm-hmm.
Even living in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them here and there. Like, oh, that one over there kind of looks like what I saw that day. But it was like everywhere you looked, it was perfect stormish. It was like weird ones there, weird ones over here, weird ones over there, and all different.
Yeah.
It's like every weird variation of clouds you don't want to see, you were seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then right as we were pulling out of the parking lot, it was a pretty, I think it was like probably around rush hour. And as you can imagine, rush hour in a big city like Sheboygan, it's pretty mad crazy.
Okay.
It was kind of busy because it's like a 2-lane road and like one stoplight, or it's like 3 stoplights to the highway, but everyone was like wanting to get out of there and go have a bratwurst. and it was, we were stuck in the traffic there, and you see all this shit around you, and then also the tornado sirens are going off.
Sure.
And the storm starts coming in. And, you know, it starts to rain, and you're not able to see a whole lot, but what you can see, it's like, oh, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, hyperventilating.
Yeah.
Because I was like, calm down. We're okay. You know, we got on the highway eventually and got the hell out of there. But as we're, like, driving out on the highway, going back to Fondaluvia, where, you know, you can, like, see, like, little funnels and stuff coming out of the clouds, mm-hmm. and lifting. And it was just like, holy shit, I wish we had a basement right now. But nope, we had a Dodge Dynasty that we were skipping away from the land of tornadoes, which is Sheboygan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
That's my scary tornado story of the day, kids.
You're the one that freaks out. I tend to stay very calm. So
I don't freak out.
You get pretty wound pretty fast.
I get wound, but I just kind of like stay informed.
You don't wring your hands, jump up and down and scream, but you get pretty wound pretty fast.
I sit there and I pay attention like religiously until it's done, until the event is over and the storm has passed.
And see, I'm like, I don't freak until I know it's time to freak, and then I tell you it's time to get in the basement.
You're like, let's have a beer. Let's watch Fixer Upper while the storm's coming.
Hey, sometimes. Gotta and do I'm what just you like, do.
No, you are. You are. You're more calm than me on that.
Yeah.
So there we go. We've established that. I'll think of some other fun Tony freakout story from childhood to share tomorrow.
Okay.
Here on Days of Our Lives. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, this is Mike again. I called in the other day, I guess a couple weeks ago, about my office, my lab, about having something messing with me while I was in the lab. So I just heard my story on the show, and I'm going to kind of call it an update. So about a week after that happened, I went in on a Saturday morning because I had to take care of some work. I was leaving for a trip. a little bit of stuff I had to do, and I was thinking I'd never seen anything in during the day, so it was probably okay. So I went in, and as I was opening the door to the lab, there, like directly behind me in the reflection, was that thing standing behind me, and it didn't disappear like it had been. It was just standing there. So I spun around real quick, and it was gone. So I was like, okay, well, that was weird. My heart was racing pretty good, so I didn't want to show fear, so I went in and went to work on things. And I've heard on the show that if you kind of envelop yourself, if you in a white light, that, you know, things will leave you alone. So I was focusing on projecting a white light around me, and basically throughout the lab. And I didn't really have much going on for the time I was there. I could see it from time to time out in the hallway, and I would say it probably wasn't happy, because I wasn't seeing it out of my peripheral. I could see it. And so that was kind of freaky a little bit. So I didn't stick around real long. I did what I had to, and as I went to leave, I was setting the alarm, and at the other end of the building, it was still standing basically where it was the whole time, most of the time I was in the lab. I could see it. It was in the corner down by the offices, and so I was setting the alarm, and I set the alarm, and as I looked down the hallway, it just rushed. It started rushing towards me, and I kind of envisioned a white light shooting down the hallway. And as those two collided, I didn't see it anymore. So I would say that maybe that works, or it's just kind of leading me on. But so I got out of there real quick, and I was like, well, I'm not going back there by myself again. But when I was on my trip, I got emails saying there's some reports I needed done, and they had to have them immediately. So I was like, well, that pretty much sucks. So I went in, and when I had gotten back for the trip, I went into the office, and so I was doing stuff I needed to take care of, and I hadn't seen anything. So I was like, okay, well, maybe the white light thing worked a lot better than I thought it did. So I stayed, and I was doing a little more work, and I got hit in the back with a piece of concrete. It wasn't real big, but it was big enough to get my attention. And so my heart, I think, skipped several beats. But again, I didn't want to show fear, so I finished what I was doing, and I tried to completely ignore anything that was going on. But I left probably within about 5-10 minutes of that piece of concrete hitting me. And when I got home, I take my shirt off, getting ready from bed, and she was asking what the red mark in my back was, or on my back was. So I was like, well, I hit it on something. And then tonight, about a week and a half later, tonight, my head, when I was there, I was there one other time, and the cleaning lady was there, and, she showed up when I was there. I had parked my vehicle in the parking lot at a couple different angles, and I was going in to the building to see if light would shine down the hallway, or if I could recreate anything that I was seeing, and I couldn't. And she had asked kind of what I was doing, and I was like, oh, I was just, you know, seeing how much light could come into the building. And she said, "You see it too then." And I kind of played dumb, like, you know, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. And she was like, "You know." She's like, "It's not good." So I was kind of like, okay. I knew what she was talking about, but I didn't want to acknowledge it, so I just kind of played dumb and left. And then this evening when I was there, it, I only saw it once. And, so I was ignoring it, and it, I don't know if it's getting upset that I'm ignoring it or what, but, I've never been able to feel it, but tonight, as I was working, it was just this overwhelming feeling of just anger and, disgust, and, the energy coming off of it was just so high. I guess it, if you've ever been under, been around really high voltage, like, that's kind of how it felt. It was almost, like, tangible, like, it was quite something. It made me sick to my stomach, made me want to throw up. And so, after that happened, I left. I don't know. We have to figure something out, because things seem to be escalating in a different manner now. So that's not good. But at the same time, it's my job, and I have to, you know, it's an engineering firm, and I'm, in the process of going to school for engineering, so I kind of have to be careful what I say, what I do there, because, you know, it's something that could follow me professionally, so it could be potentially a problem if I'm not careful, but hopefully it won't be. So I don't know, I kind of be interested to hear your take on that. The dark entity that I had an encounter with, before I really get into that one, there is another incident that happened. I switched from working as a general contractor to working for this engineering company, and my last day working at the engineering company, I was in the house where I'd encountered that dark entity thing, and I'd been in there plenty of times after the incident happened, and there's nothing. I didn't feel anything. I mean, I didn't see anything, and so I was upstairs finishing up a punch list, and I hear something come. I hear footsteps coming up the upstairs. Well, it's wide open. So I peek my head out, and there's nobody there, and I still hear the footsteps coming up the stairs. I'm like, okay, well, that's a little weird, but I tried not to think about it too much, and went back to work, and I was trying to kind of rationalize maybe, you know, what else could have caused that to happen, but I couldn't really come up with anything. But I was thinking, you know, footsteps, that's not necessarily paranormal, but that was something that was associated with the other incident, so it's kind of like, okay, well, and then I left that job and went down the street, about a block away, and again, this is another house I've spent a lot of time in, and never had anything weird happen, never felt anything weird. And I was up in the bathroom there finishing up a punch list. Just kind of trying to, you know, get everything taken care of before I start another job. And downstairs in the kitchen, I hear a chair pull out, and the unmistakable sound of a chair coming across hardwood floor. and it happened a couple times, and nothing. There's nothing there. There's nobody else there, so it's pretty strange. So, yeah, that's my story, and I'll call in with the other one. All right. Bye.
I have to ask, what type of lab is he working in? Do we know that?
I don't know, but I'm a little concerned because, like he said, things are escalating, mm-hmm. and now it's throwing chunks of concrete at him.
Mm-hmm.
That's never good. I do feel, you know, I guess encouraged, for lack of a better term, that the housekeeping lady sees it too.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask her if this was going on before he came or if this is just since he's been there.
Good question.
Because then that can either alleviate the concern of something following him or, you know, make him want to consider options if something is following him.
Sure. It's kind of a gross thought, but I'm wondering, you know, I hear the word lab and it could mean a thousand different things, really, when you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what comes to mind are like fluids.
This is an engineering lab of some sort.
Okay, well, there you go.
So it's not like there's vials of blood.
That's what I was going for.
And stuff. Yeah.
Should we go into the stuff? Start doing
no.
a laundry list of different
no.
fluids that could possibly be worked with in the lab?
I think everybody's well aware.
Fluids and gels? Okay, well, that narrows that down. That's what I was thinking, you know, you said engineer, so I'm like, okay, it's probably not that. But, you know, that's kind of mine. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you know where I would go with that? Like, well, you know, could there
sure.
be something attached there? I don't know. I mean, it's just an odd place to have that going on at, you
mm-hmm.
know, unless something happened. I don't know. Please do keep us updated on the saga that is kind of becoming this.
Right.
Because it's bizarre. But ask the ask that cleaning lady about that. See what you find out there. Then keep us abreast of any other situations that occur at your place of employment. Tough situation because he can't say much.
Right.
It will follow him. In more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for sharing your story. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Sign up to support the show and get those bonus episodes on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. It's only $5, and that's what keeps this thing a-going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.